You are the man now. Dog, 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 you are the man now. Dog.
Shabbat shalom, everybody. Not really, but kind of, depending on the day you're listening to. And also shalom and Shabbat aloha. Welcome to the Man Dog Pod. Big check-in. It's me, Dan Lippert, and I'm looking at my best friend, Ryan Rosenberg. Hi, Ryan.
What's up, Danny? How we doing, buddy?
I'm good. It's good. In L.A. Again, base level. Sad about the world. Sad about COVID. That's always happening.
Sure.
In L.A., there is a time when it's like, oh, I think we're near spring here. The sky is really blue. Everybody mm-hmm. is out and about wearing like very cool clothes. Everyone's looking good. Mm-hmm. Yesterday, I went on a walk and it was like Silver Lake looked beautiful. The people looked beautiful. And it puts me in a good mood mm-hmm. whenever that season change comes around.
LA is a beautiful, beautiful place. Yeah. It really is. It's especially that seasonal. It's crazy that we're like February. All right, we're coming out of winter. I think we still got a little bit of cold left, but it does feel nice to get one of those fresh breaths of air.
Yeah, especially after a few months of only breathing in my own fucking stink inside my house. Mm-hmm. How are you? Mm-hmm.
I'm good. I went out last week and got a little fresh air on the water,
yes.
And I really felt it there. I felt like COVID don't exist out here, baby.
Yeah,
you know what
COVID
I mean?
Can't make it to the water. I took a little walk in Venice Beach, and it is funny. Oh, yeah. Everyone there believes, you could tell everyone there is not living by guidelines. Like, people walking the Venice mm-hmm. Beach boardwalk are mm-hmm. in their own little world, I think. And they're all like, we have enough money that if we get COVID, we'll just get all the drugs and feel fine quickly, I think.
You think? Did you talk to some people?
Is that's what they yelled at me as I was running away with my mask on.
Right.
But
there's something about the beach that feels so natural that you're like, oh, you can't be out here. But it's like, hey, if you're around people, it doesn't really matter.
If COVID's anything like me, it goes to the beach and it's like, oh, I got to do this more often.
Oh, I got to talk to everybody. I got to meet some people. This is where I want to live. I want to expand and multiply.
Yeah, this is where I lay down my little roots, get a nice little shack.
Yeah, impregnate somebody with my virus.
But, folks, we only joke about COVID because we're scared about it.
That's right. I feel, how are you feeling about it in general right now? Still kind of anxious? Pretty anxious?
You know, I think I may be projecting this on society, but the feeling of cases going down feels good, even though we're going down from insane. We're still above when we were super scared last June and July. But the fact that it's going down now, my brain can't process that, like, it's higher than when it was really bad because it's lower now. Mm-hmm. And the vaccine, I'm eager to, you know, people are starting to get it in my life and around me. And it just, that feels good. But still.
Right.
Who knows, you know. It's
sure.
I think I've been living in extreme anxiety a lot. And so, like, sometimes I get these really good moods. I'm just like, whatever. I'm not going to be weighed down.
These don't count.
I'm not going
to. I should be depressed. I should be scared.
I would try not to be weighed down by the anxiety when I'm feeling it.
Right.
How do you feel?
Right. That's good. I feel pretty good. I feel pretty, I agree with you that, like, it's interesting how your feelings can be different than the situation. I think all the fear in the beginning, while obviously totally warranted, so much of it was still like the fear of the unknown. And I feel like now at least I don't have that as much. Like, I'm still very scared of the stuff we know about, but we know so much more about it that I'm not afraid of everything I'm doing.
Yeah.
Like, I have like a bunch of stuff that's checked as like safe, and you know how to do this safely, and I don't have to like worry about those things anymore. And everything that I do still feel worried about, I'm like, okay, just stay far away from that, you know? So I feel like I have sort of handled some of the anxiety just by like learning how to live with it. But definitely the like societal fact that it is still kind of crazy is depressed. Like, that part depresses me more, but the individual fear has waned.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like I know how to protect myself and am fortunate enough to like be able to distance myself.
Right.
You know? So I feel pretty like personally safe, but, I don't know, just trying to like you said, trying to enjoy that good weather and be like, at least it's like pulling up out of it. I know some people who are like getting the vaccine. Both of my parents got their first one. Good. And so like that's exciting, and hopefully I think they're getting their second one like in March. So that feels nice.
Oh,
and
what a little sigh of relief.
Yeah, totally.
I'm happy for them. That's great. And
it just feels like, oh, the beginning of the end. Like, I used to think this was a problem that we would never find a solution for. And now it's like we literally found the solution and are, like, trying to spread it to people. So hopefully that's, like, a sign of, like, a positive trend at the very least, you know? Whether or not it's going as quick as we would like is another discussion, but take what I can get.
Are you still in birthday vibes? Is the week still kind of a high for you, or are you feeling like, all right, I did my birthday?
Yes. What are we? Today is the 6th, so my birthday was on the 1st. So, to me, the 8th is when it's done. You get 7 days, and I'm still feeling pretty birthday-ish. I took a gift certificate that somebody got me to a local wonderful Italian restaurant.
Oh, really?
And had some last night. Yeah, well, I saved yours.
Oh,
yours
a different
is still
one.
Coming.
A different
yours
one. Okay.
Yours is the big one. Yeah. Our friend Dave Tooney, friend of the pod, came on the pod, did some very funny faces. He gave me a $50.
He gave you another Italian.
He gave me another Italian.
A funny thing happened on the way to the birthday is I was at Dave Tooney's house giving him a gift because he sold me his bike at a very affordable price.
Oh, that's where you got your bike.
And I was like, well, I'm headed to Ryan's to drop off a birthday thing, but I don't have a card on me. So maybe I'll drop it off later. And he was like, Dan, my guy, I got a card for you. And then he came down, gave me the card, and then was like, can you also drop this in the box? And it was a separate little
So that thing. Donut card was
a It was
toonie
a toonie.
Gift.
Yeah, that's why his address was on the, on the
outside.
Oh,
on the outside. Yeah. I was like, what is the equation here? I got two things from the outside were from Dave, but one of them from the inside was from you guys. And I was like, what did he have to do with theirs? Yeah, I couldn't figure it out.
Which place was his from?
Little Dogs.
Oh, yeah.
So I got a little pizza, some arancini rice ball type things. Oh, you've had those.
Oh, yeah.
Deep fried.
Rice and cheese or something.
Risotto or whatever. Oh, yeah, it's so good. Basically a mac and cheese ball, but like Italian and fancy, or you know, not embarrassing. Every time I eat fried mac and cheese, I'm like, this is not this didn't even exist when I was a kid. It's like disgusting.
Yeah,
you know. But I'll eat it.
What about the Adil Rafi Ron Perlman 12 meatball special?
We skipped the meatballs. I got a chicken parm.
Oh, that parm is
a
huge.
Cheese pizza. It is so good. Shout out to Little Dom's for just an amazing – they fry everything very well there, I will say. Both the arancini ball and the chicken parm were just like expertly browned without being like thick or, you know, it was just wonderful. So thank you so much, guys. And to all the people dining outside happily there, you really scared me. like I felt like I couldn't be too judgmental because I was right next to them, like picking up my takeout. But there's just motherfuckers there sitting and scream talking at each other as if it's 2019 and everything is fine. Honestly, as if it was 2000 and 9/11 hadn't happened yet. These people were so verbose, and these two, I think there was a group of three ladies, and one of them was telling a loud story about two guys, I think named Chaz, and it was either Hunter or like Brenner, like two people who I was like, oh, these are the names of outdoor diners right now.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, nobody's telling stories about down to earth, salt of the earth people. They're like, you know.
And Chaz, by the way, on the beginning and the end, you are spitting. You're spitting on Chuck. And then
I just spit on my computer. I had to wipe the spit off of my computer. 100% they're spitting in each other's
mouth. Chaz is a full COVID name, and she's yelling that story. It was complicated. I mean, I've been getting delivery when I can. I never eat it outside yet. And but when I went to pick up that gift card for a different Italian place for you, I was talking to the guy that worked there, and I was like, "How's it going?" And he was like, "Well, when things first closed and then reopened, it took a really long time for people to start coming in. And in LA, restaurants closed the past couple of months and just reopened last week. And he was like, "When we reopened this time, it was packed the first night as if it was the last night before." And I was like, "Oh, how does that feel?" And he was like, "Well, I need the money, so good." you know, that's it's more money, it's better. So it is a complicated thing where it's like, well, if the fucking county, city, state, or federal government aren't going to pay people to stay home, what do you do?
Yeah, that's what we all want, of course. But when that isn't happening, the truth then is these are people who need, you know, whatever. But, takeout. Just buy expensive takeout. That's my my thing.
Yeah.
Just buy lots of expensive takeout and don't bother them.
Takeout, tip
all the people that were... Yeah, exactly. All the people that were serving at Little Dom's had to wear, like, or, like, the hostess or whatever. They were wearing, I think, masks, but definitely, like, a face shield. But they have ones that, like, come up from the neck rather than, like, wearing them on your head and going down. They, like, come up from the neck, and it's sort of like a – so it looks like they're wearing a dog cone. It's like
– this is
– how can you sit here and watch this and have a nice time? Yeah. It was crazy.
I mean, a picture of that 10 years ago, 2 years ago, of these people sitting at a table normal while someone else has a mask on and a face shield serving them. Crazy.
It really was. It's just bizarre. It's just so bizarre. It's like there was a couple tables that were like two tops that are like very secluded by themselves. And I was like, okay. If these people live together and are sitting by themselves, separated from everybody, I guess I get it. But watching like a table of six feels illegal.
Oh, yeah.
Do you know what I mean? It's like if you're a table of six, there's no way you all fucking live together. This is three separate households all spitting chaz in each other's mouth. Like
spitting chaz.
It's just bizarre.
Spitting chaz. It's really, I mean, OMC said it best. How bizarre.
How bizarre.
I went to pick up some ramen a week or so ago for my, you know, nice little takeout Friday night dinner with my roommates. And there was it was a long wait. It took like an hour just waiting outside. And their patio was packed. And there was a guy walking around with his friends. And he was had the mask, but around his neck, not on around his mouth. And his friends had his mask on, their masks on. And it was the closest I've ever been to, like, not confronting someone, but being like, hey, what do you think is... Can I ask you why? Just out of curiosity. Like, when you see everyone with mask on around you, your friends are on. Can I ask you why you think you don't need to? Is it that you're not thinking about it? Is it that you don't care? I really want to hear a response to that. You know?
That is so funny.
It's just like, what? I'm just purely, so that I don't hate you, allow me to empathize.
Which you already do. It's very clear. But very clear that you
allow
already
me to find a reason to like you. You're standing here with your friends. They're all wearing masks. Why are yours off? What do you What do you think right now? I've been thinking a lot. It's my favorite thing to think about is consequences, because this stuff is happening where Dominion voting machines is suing everybody. Like Giuliani and Lou Dobbs, just show got canceled on Fox News, and like Newsmax has to read their little thing when the MyPillow guy was on screaming, and Newsmax had to be like Dominion, whatever, whatever. They have like a legal thing to read, and it's so funny that when you give these fucking lunatics consequences, it all stops. They all just want to scream like kids, and suddenly if you take the Trump route and go like, great, let's sue all of their pants off, they're all silent again.
They have to.
We spent 4 years letting people say whatever they want and being like, I'm going to retweet them and say they're crazy. And it's like, let's let them see real consequence. Like this Marjorie Taylor Greene woman, like kick her off all our committees. Make her have to admit that 9/11 happened to stay in Congress. Instead of just saying she's crazy, force them to do something.
Be like, you are unfit until you can admit the truth.
And like, that's what...
You know what I mean? Like, we all lived through it.
Yeah. Where were you? Yeah. Like that mask thing, that's how I feel. It's like, I just want to see the consequences. I want to see you have to say to someone why you think this is okay.
Right. Around your friends who obviously are doing the thing. Yeah. Right.
Oh.
Right.
Let me see it.
Let me see it. Let me get these people. But what else is going on? I don't
know.
What else is checking in?
What else is checking in? That's the vibe.
We have some Patreon changes.
Yeah, should we?
It's a new year. It's a new us. You know what I mean? It's going to be a little bit of the same, a lot of the same, but a couple of little changes as well. They're not like super significant, but we sort of did like a yearly check-in or beginning of the year check-in, and had some thoughts about how we were doing things, and we're going to make a few small changes.
Essentially, we are trying to make it so that the Patreon is enticing and beneficial to the people who are already on it or who want to join, and that the free episodes don't give away as much for all these free riders out there.
Right. So we've had all these people who are, of course, already listening to this because this is a patron episode, who have been supporting us for so much. And we were like, some of the best episodes, the free guest ones, you get without paying right. us. Or, you know, not paying us, but supporting or being a patron or whatever.
So we're going to start on those guest ones. Those are the free episodes are now going to be slightly shorter. And then the full episode will be like an hour, 15, an hour and a half. And that will all be on Patreon with video. That'll be the $5 tier.
Get the full bonus, the full effect of a full episode, and it'll feel a little bit separated.
Yes. And then we are we noticed, if you want a real inside baseball, that people love the $5 tier, a lot of people on the 15, but the 10, because there's what we didn't really like, weren't specific enough about what you're getting, was a little empty. So we're bumping that $10 tier down to $8.
So if you've already been a $10 subscriber, thank you so much. Have a couple bucks back.
Yeah, we just saved you $24 a year. Use that. Go to Little Dom's. Get yourself some rice balls.
Oh yeah, two order. You can get two.
So that $8 tier is going to be the added thing is it's going to have one like special kind of monthly episode basically that is on that tier that is elsewhere, and it'll be different every month what we do with that, but just something that is not. The big check-in and not the the guest episode. And then the top tier, I think we're keeping it 15. This is where I feel stupid.
Right. Yep.
But that'll just be like, it's same as it is now. All the guff, we'll give some Q&As and stuff. But that's mostly for people who just have the money and want to support us for a little more. And we're not like really peopling that tier with a ton of new content. But like we did last September, where we had the thank you episodes with guests. We'll every once in a while throw stuff on that $15 tier as a thank you to those supporters.
Right. Right. Yeah. Thanks for your generosity for that. I mean, basically the $5 tier is the bulk of the show. So anybody who does more than that, very much appreciated it. You know, podcasts are mostly free. So we really appreciate that everybody is, you know, showing a little gratitude for the thing we make. Yeah. We love that. It makes us feel good and also lets us live a life.
Yeah, absolutely. It allows us to pick up food from restaurants instead of whatever, you know, on the patio.
That's right. That's right.
I'm sorry I burped while we were doing this.
That's okay. People
burp.
But
if you're on that $5 tier and you have the means and want and the 10 was too much, but you're like, oh, I'm curious about one extra episode a month, jump on that 8 for a month or two and see if you like it. That's that. We'll see how it goes for a few months. And I think when we started this, we were like, nothing is set in stone. We want to just like learn from what works and what doesn't and give the people what they want.
That's been so fun about this process or project or whatever you want to call it, is like watching it grow and change. I remember we started September. We were like recording from that little office, just us two, and we were using an old mixer and we didn't know how to do it. And we were like asking the audience if they knew about audio and tips for how to make the show better in that way. And it's been fun to watch it get like more professional and on rails a little bit. And it's fun to always like be optimizing, I guess.
Yeah, our listener and now friend Adam hit us up and help us with some of that stuff, and now we have our producer Brian helping us out, so that's all from support that we've been able to like work with other people and hire people to help us with that stuff.
And the show's gotten so much
better. I think so.
You know what I mean? From those first episodes where it was like a little bit raw and definitely DIY, it doesn't feel that way to me anymore. It definitely feels personal still, but it doesn't feel amateur. If that makes sense. So thanks for all of our patrons for supporting us and getting us here.
Thank you.
Here's to four more years.
I think I had a thought and then I lost it, so now I'm just gonna vamp. No, I forget what that thought was, but if it pops back into my mind, but I'll just say again thank you. I'll reiterate Ryan. Our Monday episodes, we're gonna play around a little more. We said that already, but we're gonna kind of switch off between big check-ins and then whatever we want. Those Mondays are going to become a little more like whatever we're feeling on a Monday. We're going to alternate between check-ins and comedy.
probably about 50-50, yeah. Right? Check in to
yeah,
whatever.
Yeah, that's the general plan, but also not set it in stone in case we don't feel like doing a right. check-in 1 week or whatever.
That's right. So you'll see more of walking the aisles or slam yeah. dunks or whatever those things.
Yeah, those character.
What was the one where we were the improv guys? The like.
Yeah.
We
Sandy
did improv
and the David
with those guys
or something
and they,
like that. Was that right?
Yeah.
We
yeah,
were like two San Luis Obispo improvisers, I think.
That's right.
They might
That's
come right. back.
You never know. Still got the wigs.
Yeah. I wonder where mine is.
A little more wig play,
maybe
perhaps.
Wig play. I mean, to do wig, I have cosplay. To figure out what's... That my hair is already a wig. I can just kind of play with
this. We
got to
get you a ball
yeah.
cap. We got to get you a... Or whatever.
Look at this guy.
Who's hairnet. We got to get you a hairnet. Oh,
yeah,
my God.
Hairnet.
Fabio.
Fabish.
With brown hair.
Oh, no. Pigeon.
I like the short beard.
You like short beard. Thank
yeah,
you.
Yeah, it looks good. Like seeing
Thank
your
you.
Face.
Meme.
Do not make this into a
Do
meme.
Do not go in there. Did you watch? Have we talked about Promising Young Woman on
yes.
the air?
Mm-hmm. I don't think on the air, but I did watch it.
Did I
you
did
like
it? It's a hard movie to talk about because what I liked about it was like it is not. It's not like breaks every barrier of filmmaking, but it's also not what you expect from the structure of a movie. Mm-hmm. And so, like, I don't want to like. I liked not knowing what I was getting into structurally. So it's hard to talk mm-hmm. about other than saying, like, I really liked it and I thought it was well acted and, like, thoughtful and, like, beautifully shot. I really like
yeah,
Killing Eve and the way that show looks and, like, the colors and everything. And this felt like it was kind of in that zone also.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Yeah, I enjoyed it. I thought it was very interesting. I didn't like the end.
No.
I liked most of the movie, and then at the end, I was like, oh, that left me feeling unsatisfied.
Really?
But I thought it was yeah. good. But yeah, it just, yeah, I was like, fuck, oh, that made
yeah.
me happy.
The whole, I was pretty uncomfortable for the last like 30 minutes of the movie or 45 minutes of the movie, and I think that was like part mm-hmm. of the point. And it doesn't happen a lot where like the experience of watching a movie is very viscerally affecting.
Right. Right. It's not, you can't like sit there passively. You're like kind of involved,
yeah.
which feels great, even though it's, even if you don't like the way that you're involved, it is cool to be engaged.
Yeah.
You know, especially this last year when I've like had to check out for mental health of so many things, it is nice to be able to check in to anything, mm-hmm. you know, even as a way to check out of regular life stuff. It just feels like, a lot of stuff has been just sort of numb, you know, for necessity. But it is nice to, like, get drawn out of that, even if by accident.
Yeah.
Are you watching WandaVision? Everybody's talking about that show. I only watched the first episode.
Yeah, it's very first two. I like it. I like cinematic universes. I like all the stuff where it's like, mm-hmm. oh, yeah, this is from that, and that's the... Oh, this connects and whatever. And I thought that the... it was really interesting and creative the way that they're like telling the story. And it is one of those shows where like the fourth episode kind of like starts to tell you what's happening. And so if you're not like in love with just the style of the first couple, it's hard to stick with it. But I was enjoying it.
Right. Yeah. I'm excited to keep watching. Cause everybody, like I watched the first one or two when they were new and then I stopped and now I'm seeing people on Twitter being like, whoa, WandaVision just snapped.
Yeah.
Like they just changed everything or whatever. And I'm like, okay, I'm curious.
I open Twitter the day the episode comes out and there's like people are posting screen grabs and like crazy responses. And it's like, so what is this? You have to have watch the thing when it comes out or you can't be in the conversation.
Twitter is in real time and people do not
care about anyone but themselves.
Which is like the good and the bad of it. Yeah, right. Yeah, Twitter make you sick, man. It sure
Twitter
will.
Put you on the shitter, as they say.
I even notice it even when I'm on there for like a happy thing. After like 20 minutes, I'm like, fuck. I'm like, what am I even reading now? And like, you're just like, oh, that was addiction. That was like that's what addiction feels like. When you like started a thing and then you're just like, I don't even know where I am anymore. It's just like, it doesn't, I'm starting to notice that does not feel good to me anymore. Like it used to.
I just read this article in the New York Times. That was this fantastic piece. But it like kind of reshaped the way I see things now, where it was an interview with this guy who, like, in the 80s kind of predicted the what would happen with the internet, and that we would become a culture of attention, and that getting attention would be more, would be the economy, and would be more valuable than saying something important, and how, right, like, that is exactly what happened with Trump, and that all you have to do is command attention, and it doesn't matter what you're saying, and it makes you important, and it makes you valuable, and how toxic that is to the way we all interact in our brains, and like, how there's really no going back once he like, in the 80s, predicted the internet, and that that's what it would turn into, of just, I get out there and I get attention, and that makes me feel important. And how that makes everyone's drive very dangerous.
Right. I wonder if, like, seeing that, though, and learning that will also create a different change. You know what I mean? Like, having studied the end result of it and seeing that, and then publishing that article, and then you reading it, like, that does seem like a new bit of consciousness or learned stuff from the problem that is there. But I wonder, like, how sustainable is the problem once everybody, like, wakes up and sees that shit? I mean, I don't know. Obviously, it's very sustainable thus far.
Yeah, I mean,
the most popular thing on Earth.
And it works, you know, either way. It's like, you know, AOC, who I find very valuable and, like, smart and thoughtful and important, is also so popular because of her ability to command attention. But it, for me, it's like to use her powers for good. But at the end of the day, it's because she is eloquent, young, like, understands social media. It's like her ability to know how to be seen and talked about. And it just happens to be to do things for good. But somebody can be exactly like that, but on a different side. And what do you do?
Right. Don't know. It's scary. But I think, I don't know. Hopefully the will of many will trump the will of few. Yeah. You know what
God,
I mean?
God, what about, like, Trump's letter to SAG?
Who cares?
He literally wrote that in the letter.
Who cares? I know. Just insane.
Oh, man.
Just insane. It, like, to me, it's like, just let him disappear. Like, let's not talk about him anymore. Let's not give him any more attention. You know what I mean? Like, I hope that everybody realizes, like, oh, once you're not the president, it doesn't matter what you think or say anymore.
I see. I think it's...
You know?
I think it's back to the consequences thing, though. I think that's what people tried to do the first time around, was like, make fun of him. So what you're saying, like, give him attention, which is bad. But also, all these people liked him, and so he kept getting popular. But it's like, he has to see consequences. Otherwise, he keeps doing it. You got to sue him for billions of dollars for lying. And then it's like, great, now you can deal with him. Because he's not just going to go die somewhere. He's raising kids and awful kids and awful people in his following.
Right. Yeah, but it seems like the rest of us got to stop talking about him. You know what I mean? Like, the people who can sue him definitely need to do that. And I need to take my focus and attention elsewhere. You know what I mean? Like, live in the present. He ain't the president anymore. Let's live in that reality.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, what is going on? What are we doing? What are we working towards? I don't know. It's tough. We live in such a, like, country and society of, like, punishment, that everybody wants punishment, but I don't know that, like, punishment is always helpful. Like, I think consequences are definitely helpful, but I think, like, punishing the bad thing doesn't necessarily create more of the good thing that we want. And sometimes I think we're a little, like, so focused on the punitive part that we're not actually focused on, like, the aid or the help or the progress. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. I think both are important.
I guess I don't. I think, punishment and consequence are close to each other. Right. And, I think, like, when people talk about, like, cancel culture, there's, like, that talk of, like, what's the difference between punishment and consequence also, and what really exists. But it's, like, there needs to be consequence. So.
For sure.
And
for
consequence can
it's
mean
one of those punishment. Really. Totally. It's one of those really hard, confounding things where you're like, it's like prisons are horrible and the carceral state is bad. And then we're like, throw this guy in prison.
Right.
And it's like, I want to like both abolish that system, but also show that person consequences. And the only consequences we have are like this thing that we're also saying we don't really believe in. So it's hard for me to like reconcile those ideas too, of like, well, what does good consequence look like that also builds new positive stuff rather than punishes the right people but doesn't help anybody?
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, I don't know where the like line is and how you do both. Like, how, you know, I don't know.
Yeah, I think it's hard to talk to in the broad sense because it's so different. How do you punish like a drug offender or show them consequences versus how do you show consequences to a treasonous despotic president?
Of course. And it's like, of course.
It's different things are caused by different. So it's hard to like lump them all together, like the prison system and then like people who storm the Capitol.
Totally.
But there was I think it was in another piece in the Washington Post about groups that rehabilitate radicalized people, and how in the past they've been like really mostly like related to Islamic terrorism, but they've had like a 3-time bump in like phone calls, and it's like a lot of volunteer groups, and it's usually parents of radicalized people who take like months and months, and people who used to be radicalized, like guys that used to be in the KKK and whatever, and how much it's they were talking about how there's like 3 tiers. There's like on the cusp of becoming radicalized, like hearing the ideas and being interested, hardline radicalized, and then like somewhere in the middle. And they were like, the hardline people are almost like too far gone. You can't do much about them.
Right.
But if you can get to someone when they're on the cusp and they're like hearing the ideas and talking about them, you can kind of like break them down. And it made me be like, I would be interested in doing that or in like volunteering for that and seeing what that process is. Mm-hmm. I'm like, because it's a long, slow, that's the thing, is it's not how our society works. It's a long, slow, empathetic process of like talking to a 17-year-old white kid for a year and being like, you're not a virgin because women are crazy and belong in the kitchen. That's
right. And like those people are not the people that need to be punished. They need to be helped and educated because they still can be reached and whatever. And I think punishing them pushes them further down that thing, you know? So it's like, when is which thing appropriate? I think you're totally right. Like those three, that's very interesting.
Yeah. But like just...
Because I think that's some of it is like some of these people don't have a fucking ideological home to live that is healthy. Like you got to show them how to find
it.
You know what I mean? Like people that can be reached, we got
to
try to reach
them. And a lot of them, I mean, like to our lived truth of like seeing people in our world discuss this stuff from a place of privilege or like comedians or whatever and be like, this guy's an idiot. This guy's such a chud. Like, look at this asshole. And it's like, well, when you look at the people that are doing this, they're people that served in Iraq. They're cops. They're like traumatized people who believed they were like giving their lives for their country and didn't get any protection and are really pissed off. And so when some comedian is like, you idiot, what do you think they're going to do? Like, agree with you?
Well, to the comedian, you idiot too. Do you know what I mean? You're not being helpful. You're being a malignant thing just like they are. Nobody here is helpful. There's one person doing a wrong thing and there's one person sitting still and criticizing them. Nobody here is helping.
Yeah.
You know? So how can we, it's all projection. You idiot. Well, okay. Yeah, it's tough. You're totally right. It's like a lot to figure out.
So to all our, do we have any cops listening to this, I wonder?
That would be curious. Police officers.
Did I tell you this already? I think I told you off air. There were a bunch of cops outside my neighbor's place and they got arrested, and it turned out there was it was interesting for me because I'm like, cops suck. Cops are always in the wrong. But when I see cops outside someone else's house, I'm like, okay, what did he do? I'm immediately like,
that's the narrative for all of history.
I'm like, all right, this guy's a fucking drug dealer or something like that. And it turns out he
Did you ever get any news or whatever from what is happening over there?
My neighbor right next door, we like say hi and whatever for a long time. And recently our fence blew down. So now we actually talk to each other because there's no barrier between us. And he's like a really nice guy and like knows everyone. And he was like, the people across the street, it's my landlord's ex-wife and kids. My landlord owns that house. And now his ex-wife and like his kids are in their 20s. And the kids, the brother and sister, got in a fight so bad that somebody called the cops and the brother got arrested. Like an argument or the neighbors called or something. But it was like 10 cops. I don't know what happened. Right. Yeah. Wow. But it was like, I felt like, you know, watching TV out of my little...
Well, you felt a little vindicated. This is the house we thought stole your recycling bin.
I forgot. I mean, come on.
People may remember about the stolen recycling bin. Absolutely. You got some... Hey, I character witness, 100%. I'm the character poor.
Let's go send them that Ronnie Adrian, Nick Mondernock episode where we have evidence.
They have a don't... Go ahead. Sorry. They have a don't tread on me flag, and they stole my fucking recycling thing. So book them.
Punish these motherfuckers. Throw them in prison.
They're beyond help.
I have no empathy.
I know what I said earlier. They're beyond
Give
help.
Give me
Kill
my
them.
Recycling bin back.
And put this
I
guy
should
in
have been
chair.
Out there filming and screaming the whole time. Absolutely. Yeah, he did. Whatever officers, it is, he did it.
Officers, don't worry. I'm filming, officers. Don't
I got
worry.
You back, officers. Ask him where the recycling bin is.
Pretty crispy recycling bin, huh, officers? What do we think? Why does he have two
Oh,
new
I've
ones?
Been waiting for this day. Oh, baby. I hope his life didn't get ruined by that arrest and that he...
Yeah.
Whatever happens, that they make it all right.
Yeah, I hope he stops hurting his sister. That's what I hope.
Obviously, that the recycling bin makes its way. Wherever
and
it is.
It's right. That just that order is restored,
That's exactly right. Recycling.
You know? Recycling. Well, Dan, this was a wonderful check-in, but I think we've reached the end of our time.
We have reached the end of our time. Now, here's the question, Ryan.
Wow.
We're about to record a different podcast. Are we going to change shirts so nobody can know that this was on the same day?
I'm not.
Okay, so for those of you Big Grande fans, try to figure out when the episodes were recorded. And give us your, it'll be like the Lost message boards when that show was big. Give us your guesses on what's happening here, who the smoke monster is.
Yeah, it'll be huge. It'll like be Lost.
I mean, we got Lindelof on the line.
That's right. Linda Loff. Not Damon Lindelof. We have a woman named Linda Loff.
She's a writer.
Yeah, I spilled coffee on her and she's trying to sue me. And so she's on the line. We're going to talk to her.
Spilled, dumped. We'll see how that story ends.
Well, yeah, for me, it's spilled.
Well, Ryan.
For her, obviously, it was
great
dumped.
Chatting. Excited for the March Patreon changes. Tell your friends.
Me
this
too.
Is their opportunity to really see what's going on come
That's
March
right.
1st on the Man Dog Pod.
That's right. And if you're, one more thing, if you're a YouTube fan, you may see us on YouTube a little bit.
Yeah,
at
we're
going
to start posting clips. So at all will be on
right.
there eventually. Mm-hmm. We asked our Patreon for favorite scenes. So if you want to jump into that thread right under here, there's a thread of favorite scenes, and we're going to
smash that other like button
smash
right
the
up
favorite
here.
Scenes button here.
Don't
meme this.
Me.
Don't meme this.
Don't do a video meme.
Oh my God, that feeling when you pointing up and down repeatedly.
That feeling when you see
it.
You
do look like a game froze or something like that.
Yeah. Well, wonderful day. Dan, great to talk to you. And our patrons, thank you so much for listening, supporting, and sticking with
yes,
us.
Yes, thank you. We'll see you on the other side. Rock on.
Rock on, you guys.
You know how we end every episode. Rock on.
Yes.
Don't mean this. No video memes.
Goodbye.
No video memes.
Goodbye.
I heard my name.
You gotta see the video for this one.